Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to The Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Howie.
Good day to everybody.
And Bobby is off today. It's his daughter's birthday, so he's off doing family things as a dad for his daughter's birthday. We'll miss him, but he'll be back again next week. Before we get into the meat of the program, I just want to say yesterday was the one-year passing of George. And while George had nothing to do with this show, really, without George pushing me to do something I was unprepared for, which was doing hockey and doing shenanigans, there would be no The Dads Must Be Crazy. So
this is an offshoot of Shenanigans. So
it is.
And the long and short of it is, without George, we're not sitting here right now.
Right. So thank you, George. And dude, I've got an idea.
Yeah, that was a joke between you and him. Yeah, I'm sure he would appreciate that. And I'm sure wherever he's listening, he's enjoying it.
Rolling his eyes for me calling him dude, I'll tell you that.
Probably. And he, yeah. Yeah, I have other jokes, but they're probably more shenanigans worthy.
Right.
Thanks, George, because without his urging and pushing for everybody to do stuff regarding the hockey team and then shenanigans, and this is an offshoot of shenanigans.
Right. I wouldn't have come up with this idea on my own. Not the show idea, but the whole idea of podcasting.
Right.
So thank you, George, because you got me into podcasting. Now we're going to move on.
And we're moving on to, and correct me if I'm wrong, we were discussing this just briefly off air. The topic we're going to discuss today is going to be date nights with a significant other.
Date nights are always important.
Yes.
We try to get them in as much as we can. We had one last night, which most people probably wouldn't consider it a date night, but Wendy and I went out to Newfane to visit our nephew.
I saw the photos on Facebook. You guys looked like you were having fun.
It was so awesome. So they have a baby who was born December 20th. Mm-hmm. Jackson is his name. And
well, whose side of the family? Yours or hers?
Wendy's side.
Okay.
So we're a great uncle and a great aunt to this little guy.
You're modest too.
Oh. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, it's a dad show. I'm going to make a dad joke.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think I'm old enough to be a great whatever. At least I'm not a grandfather. Though I have one really close friend who is already a grandparent and is going to be a grandparent a second time this month, I think. So, yeah, we're getting older, I guess. I was just doing the math this morning. On my next birthday, I will be exactly as old as my dad was when I got married, because my anniversary is October 4th, and my dad's birthday is October 5th. So as our reception went from the 4th to the 5th, it went to his birthday. Mm-hmm. So he was 47 years old. He was 46 years old when we started the reception, 47 when it ended.
Okay.
So on my next birthday, I'll be the same age as my dad was when I got married. And I'm the oldest in the family. My oldest will still be in high school. So
does that make you...
I started later.
Okay, yeah. Well, in my family, if we're going to just compare like our dad's ages when certain things happened, I got married in 03. My dad was 50. However, I became a father in 06 when I was 26. My dad became a father in 80 when he was 27.
So right around the same age for you guys.
Is that right? But then I was all done having kids by the time I was, my wife and I were all done having kids by the time I was just shy of 34.
Okay.
My dad and my mom were done. He was a year younger than me when my brother was born.
Okay.
No, 2 years younger than me. No, 1 year younger than me. I'm sorry. Okay. My math is terrible. I'm sorry I'm doing this here. I've got three. He had two and...
So you're saying you had your last kid around 34, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw this math out at you. When I graduated from high school, my mother was 36.
Yeah. There's so many, I don't know. Look, I think the bottom line is if we could do this math thing all day, but it's going to really...
It'll take us all day.
I'll get a migraine, but the bottom line is everybody goes at their own pace.
Right. So we went out last night.
Yeah. Back to that. I'm sorry.
It was a date night, kind of, because it was just her and I, and we got to spend time with the little guy.
Right.
And we spoke with our nephew and his wife, and it was a pretty good time. Some people might not call it a date night, but we got a couple hours to spend with each other with a baby. We don't want any more babies, but we can enjoy other people's babies.
All the fun and almost none of the work.
Right.
That's how it
goes. I got to tell you, though. So Wendy hogged Jackson for most of the time we were there. And then she finally let me hold him. And he was kind of asleep. And then he started getting kind of restless. And he started vibrating a little bit, if you know what I mean. And I'm going, I'm saying to the parents, I go, this kid's got a poop. I'm telling you, he's got a poop. No, he just gets kind of restless around this time. I'm going, this kid's got a poop.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I hear is, yeah, he just pooped. And then I hear a second time. And so he pooped. And I go, oh my God, this kid stinks. I didn't realize, and apparently this is a thing, there's a difference between breastfed baby poop and formula baby poop. Formula baby poop smells way worse than breastfed baby poop. I'm just saying. And so
poop stinks no matter what you
do. It does, okay. But this was definitely a strong odor. And so mom comes and takes baby and goes into the other room to change. And I've been through this four times. The first thing I did was look at my shirt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to make sure. You need to make sure that you don't have to change your shirt.
Right. So then she's in the other room. She goes, oh my God, I need help. He had exploded everywhere. And that had not happened yet. I'm giggling because I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's on the changing table. Yeah, that happens.
It gets all over the place.
And I didn't have boys. I had four girls. But when the hose is out, it sprays. So, I mean, you got to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was a giddy end to the date night. And then we finished up. We got home and we had some homemade pizza that our daughter had made while we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and watched Star Trek Picard. So that was how we ended our date night. Now, typically, our date nights are a little more involved than that. And they mostly revolve around theater. I think we're in our fifth year of season tickets at the Palace in Lockport.
Right.
And we are currently in the middle of our second year at Shays.
Which my wife and I kind of join you guys. Yes. We have seats together. Yeah.
Right.
So that's 2 years for us as well.
So that's our other date night is put into the calendar. And pretty much with Shays going to 7 shows a season, mm-hmm. and there are 6 from
the Palace.
You
got essentially
one a month.
One a month. Does the Palace go through the summer?
No.
So it's an average of one a month, but not necessarily one a month.
We have, this week we have Hello Dolly. Next week we have Matilda. The week after that we have The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, because we got some tickets for 7:10.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we just got over Shrek at North Park, and we just got over The Jungle Book at Roy B. Kelly. Plus, we have a high school one, I think the first or second week in April, which is Hello Dolly.
Nice.
And our kids in the pit.
Right. Which district locally is doing curtains? Is that Lindenville and Medina, or is that Roy Hart?
I don't know. I haven't looked at them lately. Normally, I'm right up on it, but we've been so busy lately that I have not had a chance. I have done a Niagara's Water Cooler, a preview of all the shows that are going to be done by high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year I did it, I went through and I found out all the information myself. And then I had some of the directors sending me stuff, which made it a ton easier. It's a free service that Niagara's Water Cooler provides. If you want it done, you send me the information. I'm not going to go look for it.
Right, right.
Because they have so much other stuff going on. I just don't have the time to do it. But if you send me the stuff, I'll put it up on the website. Trust me, it'll happen.
If you send us free tickets, we will definitely put it up with very positive reviews. Yes.
We don't do high school reviews anymore. I used to.
I'm talking professional shows.
Oh, we could do that.
Cough, Shays, cough. Yes.
Yes. Hint, hint. Shays, 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 Shays.
This week, like you said, we have Hello Dolly. The previous show that we went to, you and I didn't really like that much. We're not going to get too much into it because it is a pretty well-beloved show, but the version we saw was just not something that I found appealing.
Well, we can back up because this is...
Okay, we're not here to review shows. We're talking date nights.
We will review some of our shows here.
Wait to keep me on track. Good.
But we will talk about date night first.
Right.
So when it comes to the Palace, Wendy and I typically go out for dinner. And sometimes we're in such a rush because we have 4 kids that need to be driven around that.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a quick hit at a local taco place that is trying to sell beer now. And we are drinking beer today at our our podcast. So Mighty Taco, if you want free, what do you call it? Give us a beer and a taco.
Yeah.
But typically we go out to like a fancier restaurant. We have dinner together, spend some time together. Cause as you know, with children, it doesn't, your workload as a parent doesn't double from 1 to 2.
No, it goes up by 10.
And then you add 3.
And then
you add the 4th.
Every kid, it's an exponential. It's an exponent of 10, minimum, is what it is.
So we don't, a lot of times, we don't have a lot of time to with each other other than passing each other and dinner, because we still try to have dinner together as often as possible. But once dinner's over, you got a group of us doing, we have a group of us doing dishes. We have homework that's got to be done. We've got to run to dance, got to pick up from dance and all that stuff. So it, getting a chance to have dinner and then watch a show together, it's good.
I completely agree. Based on the current schedules my wife and I have, that has become extraordinarily difficult. And it's not because of our kids. It's because of our personal schedules. With everything going on, I'm adjusting to getting up a lot earlier because I'm now leaving the house with my kids before my wife on an average of 4 out of 5 days a week. Because as I mentioned on a previous show, when you weren't here, but Bobby was, I'm subbing in 2 different districts. So I'm getting up that much earlier, which means I'm forcing myself to go to bed that much earlier. The weekends, I got to have my kids in one place and then we get home and then I'm doing something around the house. My wife's catching up on paperwork because... Let anybody in the medical profession tell you they don't have paperwork due to all the automation, and they're lying to you.
Same thing when people say, oh, when the bell rings, teachers have nothing to do. Yeah, come live at my house for 1 week.
Substitutes have nothing to do, which is why I'm like, I'm having fun. Do I really want to look into this? I do. I'm exploring the possibility of, you know, making it, doing what I can make it, but that's another topic for another time. The date nights that my wife and I would have, they've become so infrequent that when we have them, you know, they're really enjoyable. It's a matter of like, all right, here, let's go to dinner here. Or let's go here. Let's go to a movie here. When we decided to get Shay's tickets, I said, listen, this was for the last season. I said, Hamilton's going to be on the docket. I think we should get tickets to do this, get season tickets. The way I look at it is we don't go out that often. I mentioned you and Wendy were going to be getting tickets. I'm like, we're going to get 4 seats. And it's going to basically be a built-in date night for us. We get to go. We get to not just sit there and talk to each other because we already know each other's stories. We get to, you know, bring in another couple, have some fun, and go. So of the 6 shows last season, all 4 of us went to 5. I know Hamilton, you didn't go, and Hamilton, my wife, didn't go. And at this point, Hamilton, not going to that for you is more of a thing of principle. But the point was we went out and we had fun.
This year, the carpooling hasn't worked out quite as well because
it's been a variety of circumstances, yeah.
We've had a kid who was already up there for something else, so right. We were already in the area, so we weren't going to come all the way back to Lockport.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last show we went to...
You guys were under the weather.
My wife was really under the weather, and we weren't sure we were going to make it or not, so we didn't want to go out to dinner like we typically would,
mm-hmm.
and then have her not feel well and then be stuck. So we wanted to be able to... If we need to leave, we could leave.
Right, right. And that makes sense.
Regardless, I think it's our turn to drive next time.
I think so. We'll have to figure all that out and figure out where we're going to dinner. There's a place directly across the street from Shay's that I should probably give a call to and see what's going on.
Right, as long as they have vegetarian.
Yeah, I also got to find out whether or not it would be my actual in-laws going with us or my brother and sister-in-law because they are going to be in town. But I got to find that out.
All right.
Because that's
so it could be a different carpooling again this week.
Maybe. I don't know. I have
regardless, no... next time we all go together, I think it's our turn to drive.
Yes. In terms of like date night, like I was mentioning though, like my wife and I get a chance to go and do anything so infrequently, not counting the shows. About a year ago and then the previous November, I said, hey, let's do this. So I arranged it for us to go to Niagara on the Lake for like a weekend to go do like a wine tasting and a wine tour. And then with a different couple other than, you know, Wendy, we went to Keuka Lake for like a driving around wine tour on a Veterans Day. I'm like, hey, this is something very unique. Something, I know it was 2 different wine tours 4 months apart, but the point was it was out of the house, kid free and grown up company only type of thing. And it was fun
right.
Just to get away. Very little responsibility other than make sure you drive safe and you don't do anything stupid. So, you know, you're talking about how, you know, you and Wendy do all that. It's like, I'm hoping that at some point in the near future, I can arrange my household. So like, hey, let's do this because
your youngest one is still 5 years old.
Yes.
So we didn't start doing this till our youngest one was 8 or 9.
Oh, so I got 3 more years to look forward to right. of this jumping through hoops thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Because once they get a little bit older, then the older kids can watch the younger kids. Because we're talking, I have 2 16-year-olds, and that's scary to say. And then the other one will be 14 the end of this month. So
you said you have 2 16-year-olds, and at one point this morning I had to take my kids to Sunday school. And my wife joined us, and we went shopping because my wife's in the medical profession and has decided that better safe and prepared than not regarding all the news regarding the...
Please tell me she didn't get masks.
No, no.
Because everything from the WHO and the CDAC said that no.
She didn't get masks or anything like that. What we did get was some Clorox cleaning supplies. We got some of the wet wipe type things, some of the basic things that most people aren't thinking about, like... Oh, we need hand sanitizer. It's like antibacterial soap jugs are right there. Wash your freaking hands.
Well, they have the thing out there now that says how you can make your own. There, it's soap and alcohol. I just cut the soap out, go straight to the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then it cuts right through all the crap, so you don't have to worry about anything.
There you go. But
you don't care.
Who, me or you?
No, no. When you have.
Oh, yeah. If you take enough alcohol, you don't care. But no, let's put it this way. If you go up to Transit Road, you know how there's a Target and Wegmans next door to each other? After I dropped my kids off at Sunday school, I doubled back to that area on Transit Road. I dropped my wife off at Target because she needed to get some stuff like pharmaceutical-wise and some cat food stuff. And then I parked the car right between the two buildings and I bought all the canned goods, the box food, like pastas, canned veggies and other stuff, and then some frozen stuff and some fresh meats because I was running low. So I can... get it all set, put it in the freezer. So I know we've got it just in case anything happens, because in my wife's line of work, should the unthinkable happen and she get exposed and she be put under quarantine, that means essentially the 5 of us are going to be stuck in a house. That's worst case scenario.
Right.
And she just wants to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Now, case in point about how my wife makes sure that she thinks always about, hey, this might happen. When we lived in Des Moines, and if I said this story before on this podcast, I apologize for repeating it. We lived on the 8th floor of an apartment building, and our main windows looked out right over downtown Des Moines. But if you went onto the balcony and looked and turned your head to the right, you saw all of the Des Moines airport and a couple other different things. And it was just flat farmland because it's Iowa. And at one point, early on in our living there, I want to say it was probably like September, October, and we had just moved in August. The tornado siren went off in downtown. My wife, I didn't realize, she hadn't even told me. She had a go bag. So I'm like, what is that? So I open up the balcony door. I go stand on the balcony. I'm looking off. I'm like, oh, wow. Hey, Seth, come here. Take a look at this wall cloud forming over the airport. This is pretty neat. I go back in the apartment and she's all dressed. She's got the cat in the cat carrier. It's yelling at me. She's got another bag. She goes, we need to get downstairs now. I'm like, what? She goes, now. So we get down to the ground level. And the people who run the apartment are like, no, we know when it's going to be a real one. They just had to put the siren out to cover their own butts. I'm like, oh, okay. My wife's like, where do we go? She's like, I don't know. I don't know where you're supposed to go. None of them knew what was supposed to happen. Truly the yin and the yang, I guess you could say, between my wife and I, where she's worried about every possible thing that can go wrong. And I'm just like, that went wrong? Okay, how can we fix it? Kind of like a roll with the punches type of deal.
And we're off on a tangent.
No, not necessarily.
Here's a very important lesson about date night.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
It's almost shenanigans-esque, but it needs to be told. So Wendy and I were planning a long weekend away. We thought we'd go to the Poconos. I think it was our anniversary a couple of years ago. I was talking about this. And I said, I don't want a bunch of kids running around. So I'll put in the search, Poconos adult-only weekend. Huge mistake.
I was going to say, that probably did not end up the way you wanted it to.
No, I'm looking at this one thing, and it's... going, I go, oh, look, they're going to have, they have game night, they have the kumbaya moments, and they have wet t-shirt contest. I don't think this is what we're looking for. This is definitely not what we're looking for.
Well, if we were shenanigans, we would be talking about what you actually were looking for, but that would that's besides the point.
It was not what I was looking for.
Okay,
for sure. I mean, yes, but
no. Yes, but no, yes.
Right. Now, here's the concern. We're talking about the COVID-19.
Right.
Because people call it the coronavirus. No, it's a coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a type of virus that it is, but we're not getting into the semantics of it. So COVID-19, the concern we have at our house is, first of all, we're not falling into the fear-mongering that's been out there on mainstream media.
I spoke to my brother about it this afternoon on the way over here, and he's just like, it's a bad cold. I'm not going to make it that minor, but there have been 4,000, almost fewer than 4,000 confirmed cases, and all but less than 500 have been in China. That's number one. Number two, when you read overnight that Italy basically locked down 16 million people in the northern part of the country, that kind of raises a bit of a red flag. And if it doesn't, then you got your head in the sand.
My concern is, and I believe it's my wife's concern also, especially concert guy here, I love concerts, that the fear overwhelms common sense and they start canceling things. They already canceled the South by Southwest Festival.
Corona beer is taking a major hit because people won't buy it.
That's actually an urban myth. I looked it up yesterday because someone was saying it, and it's not true. The problem is beer drinking is down worldwide because people are sick and afraid to go out. It's actually all the beer manufacturers, all alcohol manufacturers are actually down.
All right.
Because I thought it was, oh, people are confusing it. No, it's a Facebook meme that is unfounded.
The 38% bit is a meme?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I'm a prime example of what that you shouldn't read or believe everything you hear or read. I shouldn't have known something was up when it was spoken by Abe Lincoln holding a cell phone.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, yeah. If it has any grain of truth, though, then the people who won't buy Corona are people who didn't. I don't know. I'm not going to go any further with that. That would just be mean. I will say this much. I mean, the panic thing is the one thing I'm worried about. And we can relate that to, you know, date night. We are all planning on going to see Hello Dolly next weekend or this
Correct.
Weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
This weekend. Is it going to be an issue going out in public with a whole bunch of people?
I just cough occasionally and people stay away.
Yeah.
I cough because I have problems with my lungs from pneumonia.
Right.
But I have the shocked look when I cough in public now. People look at me. They stop and look like, uh-oh. No, it's because I had pneumonia a couple of years ago, and when it gets damp or cold, I cough.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Look, I don't know. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward to next month's show. I'm looking forward to the show after that and the show after that, and then a summer off, and then, you know, the next season.
And it's barely a summer off because the last show is in June, and the first show is in mid-August.
Right. So they're giving me my birthday months off, which is nice. No, Hello Dolly is a show that I know okay.
I didn't realize exactly what the show was until I read a synopsis of it. I was thinking Wild West, and
it's New York City, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little bit dark.
It's not the brightest thing, but it's, yeah. And then I'm looking forward to next month's show. Are we transitioning now to talk shows?
Yeah, we're going
to
talk to shows.
I mean, date nights are something that we want to have happen as often as possible. And since many of the date nights that your wife and you and my wife and I share over the last year and a half have been shows, we're transitioning to talk shows.
Right.
So
here's where their sponsorship from Shays comes in. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yes, yes, please, please. So
I even take like drink coupons.
Yeah. You know what would really be great? Parking passes.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be really cool.
The next show is
Hello Dolly. After that, it's The Band's Visit.
Which I know nothing about, but I hear wonderful things about it.
All I know about it is that it takes place in Israel, and on Broadway, Tony Shalhoub won an award for it. Supposedly, the premise of the show is, not supposedly, from what I read about the show, I think it's an Egyptian police band is sent to go perform at a place called Petah Tikva, which is a remote city somewhere, or a larger city somewhere, and when they go to the bus station to go to Petah Tikva, they say it in such a thick accent, they wind up in Petah Tikva, which is a different city altogether in a much more remote location. And it's a matter of how two completely different kinds of people get along, coexist, and find common ground.
All right. I have a tangent right now.
Go for it.
I deserve it once in a while.
It's not like you haven't earned it by now.
Right. Israel, you've been there.
Yes.
Have you been there as an adult?
If you count 20 years old as an adult...
Kind of. Would it be someplace that your wife would be interested in going with you? Could that ever be one of your trips you take as a long date night type of thing?
I see that would be a date week, and right. I'm going to venture to guess here and say no.
Really?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, my wife is Catholic, and I'm Jewish.
All three. And if you go to Jerusalem, you're talking.
I've been to Jerusalem. But for her, she's Catholic. She's been to the Vatican, so she's okay.
I am not Catholic. In fact, I am barely religious.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to the Vatican in a heartbeat, and I would bring my ninja suit so I could see the archives with Robert Langdon. First of all, because the architecture is beautiful.
Yeah.
The artwork is beautiful. The history of it by itself is just magnificent. So I would want to see it for that purpose. It has no religious meaning to me.
Italy is just amazing just for the history itself, period.
And then I want to go to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. I want to go. I don't know if I'm allowed to go to the Temple on the Mount, though.
I'm not even sure I went. I don't remember if I did or I didn't. I'm pretty sure we
could. But I would love to. There's so much history.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
There's so much history there that how can you not?
Let's put it this way. I went when I was 20. The trip was free because I was, you know, a Jewish student in college, and Hillel has that birthright program.
You didn't have to serve in the army, though, right?
No. If I had declared Israeli citizenship, I would have to serve for a couple years, but no. That's nothing I needed to do. I wish I had gone a couple years later so I could appreciate it more. And this is coming from somebody who went when he was 20. I went to Russia when I was in high school. I was 17. That one I appreciated a lot. I'm like, hey, I'm in St. Petersburg. I'm in Moscow. I'm in a very old city called Novgorod. This is amazing. When I was 20, I had just turned 24 when we went to Italy. Italy was incredible. I appreciated that one. The older you get, the more you appreciate stuff. Israel, I went, though, and they're like, oh, and this is this, and this is this. I'm thinking to myself, I never was taught that. I was never taught that. And I started questioning my own different parts of my own upbringing. It's one of those things like, yeah, I went. We went in the most public of places, and we visited the most public of places. And I stress that because if I were to go there now, unless I'm with a tour group in the most public of places, I'm not going to feel safe, just based on a political climate.
Where is this, in Russia?
Israel.
Oh, Israel?
Yeah, just generally speaking.
So did you guys went to Italy for your honeymoon?
Yes.
Did you go to the Vatican then or no?
Yes.
Okay.
That was part of the trip. We did a 12-day loop. We started in Rome and ended in Rome.
That's cool.
It was really, really cool. My wife loved the Isle of Capri and the Amalfi Coast.
Because her pants were finally, you know, in vogue there. Bad dad joke.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think she's worn those maybe twice in the whole time I've known her. No, we did Rome, Capri, Florence, Venice, Naples, maybe.
Okay.
You know, we're there and we're looking at like the glass blowing in Venice. And the guy's like, oh, we have this and we have that. And he's showing us this display of a vase. And he's like, look how sturdy it is. Look how strong it is. And I said, hey, what do you think of that vase? She goes, I think we should get one. I go, what do you mean one? When are we coming back? She goes, well, I don't know. I'm like, you get one, it's this much. You get six, which is the whole set. It's only three times more. Get the set.
Did you get the set?
Yes, we got the set. Just like we go to Sorrento, where they have all this
cheese. Never mind. Another dad joke.
Oh, Sorrento cheese. Yes. I'm like, I know he's got a... Okay, yeah. They've got all this inlaid wood. Now, you were at my house once or twice. Do you remember seeing that large wooden painting in my dining room? Or that wooden piece of art in my dining
room? Yes.
That's from Sorrento.
That's cool.
That's all inlaid wood pieces. And there's a tiny one that just has a rose. It was like $20. Maybe it was $50. I don't remember. But it was like, I want to say it's like a 4x6 picture, right? She's like, let's get that. I'm like, again, when are we coming back? So we got an inlaid wood vista of the Amalfi Coast with Mount Vesuvius in the background. It's like, that's really awesome.
That's cool.
You know? So,
yeah, Italy is on my list. Not as high on my list as England.
I'd love to go to England. I could speak the language.
Barely, but yes.
See, now you got me going on a tangent from your tangent where we're supposed to be talking about shows.
Right. I was just looking at the list of shows here because we got our season tickets last year at Shays. Mm-hmm. Shays. In Buffalo.
Right.
Go to Shays.org for more details.
And it was, you know, I thought it was a great lineup. The reason we decided to get tickets, your wife and my wife and myself, was because Hamilton was on the docket.
Okay.
It was a great thing. It was Aladdin,
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
And then it was Hamilton.
Nope. Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, Fiddler on the Roof. And then Hamilton.
Yep.
And then it was
Miss Saigon
and Dear Evan Hansen.
Right.
And there were a couple special engagements. I forget what they were.
Cats, Rent, Book of Mormon, Rock of Ages.
Okay. Now, of the basic six, though, I would say if we were to rank them, Dear Evan Hansen is probably number one.
Yes.
Based on what you saw, you'd probably put Fiddler on a Roof number two.
Really close with Aladdin.
Aladdin was a lot of fun.
Aladdin was a lot of fun.
I liked Hamilton. It took me about four songs to get used to the pace at which the songs were sang.
My problem with that, and I know that we've discussed this before, my problem is, one, I don't like musicals. I don't like going to theater that is all singing. Mm-hmm. It's one of my least favorite types, though there's been exceptions.
And we're going to talk about it coming up on Positive.
I'm not a hip-hop music fan at all. I just don't like it. I've tried to listen, tried to like it. I don't like hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I don't like rap. There are exceptions. because I like Eminem, I like Dr. Dre.
There's exceptions.
I like
to every
Will
rule.
Smith and right. DJ Jazzy Jeff. I mean, how can you not?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the music because my daughter was obsessed with it. And when I say obsessed, it was every waking moment that she was home, she was playing Hamilton music. So if I heard it again, I was going to scream. And there are some minor, and they are minor, mm-hmm. historical inaccuracies that I know they tell the story better, but I would dwell on them because I know the story.
Right.
So to me, that would not be a positive experience for me.
But let's look at it positively. At the very worst, what Hamilton has done for...
It's gotten people interested in history,
yes.
Hamilton, and stage. That's what I got to say.
There you go. I mean, and there are certain shows that do that.
It's like Harry Potter got people involved in reading.
Right. There are certain books that become phenomena and they get people reading again.
Right.
I mean, reading again, I should say, because everybody read at some point.
For most of the part.
Right. For me, it would have been Ready Player One. I'm like, oh, this is great. I got to find another book. And then, you know, one leads to another, leads to another. Basically, I'm reading via tangent.
The book that the book that got me reading was the last one.
Well, yeah.
Always the last one.
You don't need any help there. Miss Saigon, I remember seeing 20 years ago. It was a bit different.
Would have had a better experience at that show, but we got bad news about George that night.
It was right around this time last year when...
So my mind was not into that show, and it could have been way better. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was not bad.
It was more risque and in your face than I ever remember it being. The one thing that stood out to me last year versus the time I saw it 20 years ago was the way they staged The Fall of Saigon, which was absolutely incredible. I mean, even in your "I can't believe I'm here, I should be somewhere else" state last year,
mm-hmm.
even you recognized that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was just phenomenal, the way they did that with the helicopter coming in, and it was just great. And then what did it end with? Oh, and then it ended with Dear Evan Hansen.
Right, and then there's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in there.
Which had a great first act and a second act, which was just...
rushed, like they wanted to get off stage.
Yeah, like I enjoyed the Oompa Loompas when I first saw them, and I'm just like, this has got old real quick.
Aladdin was hilarious, though. The guy who played the genie.
Oh, the genie makes the show. If you have a bad genie, you have a bad show. That's pretty much how it goes. And then the one bit when they had like a whole bunch of costume changes in a matter of 60 seconds when they were singing Prince Ali, blah, blah, and that was great. Anybody who's listening to this is like, I don't like live theater. Go watch. You'll be impressed at what they can do. Because, you know, you give it a chance, but make sure it's a show that you're interested in.
My dad does not like theater whatsoever. He doesn't like singing. People don't sing in real life just walking around. Well, you have not been to my house very often then.
Or mine.
My kids sing constantly. Yeah. They sing their life. So we had extra tickets to the Lockport Palace Theater to All Shook Up, which is Elvis music. Now I know my dad likes Elvis. His parents loved Elvis. They went to Graceland. So I said to my parents, I go, I got extra tickets to see All Shook Up. We have our tickets, and then the extra set were like the first row of the lodge upstairs. First dead center front row mm-hmm. of the balcony, basically. Or loge, whatever they call it.
I was going to say, you said, it took me about...
what I mean.
It's loge, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm not a theater person.
Mezzanine.
Yeah. Our season tickets are second row center at the mm-hmm. Palace, and my parents are up watching it the same night. And when I first broached the subject about taking tickets, my dad's like, I don't really want to go. I go, it's Elvis music. I kind of like Elvis music. We finished the show. He goes, that was fantastic. I think my dad liked it more than my mom did. You find something that pulls your interest and keeps it, then, you know.
It's like, you know, the scene in Mr. Hockey was like, this is great. It's like football with spears, you know. That's what it was, yeah.
Now, you may not become a season ticket holder, but you may be
more
likely to find something to go to.
More, yeah, you're going to pay more attention to when they release their lineup each year. You know, like in the past, I remember when I was working for a newspaper in Iowa, I called my wife up when I got an email as editor. I'm like, really? Well, this is coming to Des Moines? So I call my wife. I go, hey, are you doing anything on such and such date? She goes, no. I go, I'm going to call you back in about 25, 30 minutes. I promise. So I got a hold of the Des Moines Civic Center. I explained who I was, what I was working for, and whether or not I'd be able to bring my wife to this show as like a plus one type of thing. And could I review the show for my weekly paper? They're like, oh, yeah, sure. We'll send you press passes and everything. So I got to go see The Lion King for free. And my wife was like, this is great. So we saw a traveling troupe doing The Lion King. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Same place we went and saw Moving Out, which was the Billy Joel musical. Yeah. And of course, we've established well on this show that Bobby likes Billy Joel. I'm required to.
Okay.
When we went to Ohio, we saw Wicked, which is a phenomenal show.
It is fantastic.
since we lived here, before we got season tickets, the year before we got season tickets, we saw one show that was on the docket. We saw The Little Mermaid.
Dear Evan Hansen was phenomenal. Okay. And it's going to be one of the special engagements. If you have not seen Dear Evan Hansen, go.
Mm-hmm.
It is fantastic. I liked the juxtaposition they did between the 2018-19 season and the 2019-20 season.
With the ending show and the beginning show?
The ending show and the beginning show. They went from Dear Evan Hansen, which is basically about bullying.
Yes.
To Mean Girls, which is about bullying.
And it's told in two completely different ways. And it will
But appeal. The message is the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't realize it until afterwards. I mean, I think you pointed it out to me, like, oh my God, you're right. Let's put it this way. If you're watching a movie or you're watching a musical, you're going to kind of base whether or not you like it on how many chill moments there are. With the music, Dear Evan Hansen had several of those.
And I didn't know any of the music. I didn't recognize it at all. I had read the book.
Right.
The book is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never seen, somehow I still have never seen Mean Girls the movie.
You need to.
And I also needed to, I think I need to rewatch The Big Lebowski, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a dig at me in case anybody hasn't figured that out. But then, of course, you know, Mean Girls is how everything started up this current season.
And then what I think has thus far been the greatest show of the season was Come From Away.
I would that over the last two seasons. I've liked it that much.
It's a pretty close between Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay, fine. It will 1A, 1B. You know, yeah. We'll do that. Because Come From Away was just so amazing.
And I had read the book about that also.
And if
the
you,
day the world came to town.
If you had told anybody 19 years ago that, hey, we're going to have a musical all about the aftermath of 9/11, and you're going to laugh during it. You might cry once or twice, but you're going to laugh, and you're going
to enjoy. There are definitely moments where you want to.
Where you want to, what, laugh?
Cry.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple moments in there because it's post 9/11, and the world was still coming to grips with what had happened. But just the show opens up by hitting you like a freight train and not stopping.
Right.
It just non-freaking stop. And that, to me, is the lone exception to my knowledge that proves the rule about you not liking shows that are non-stop singing.
That is the lone exception.
It's
like Les Mis, I understand the story, and it's a wonderful production, but again, all singing and
I took my son to see it. He really was wanting to see it because he saw it professionally in Boston with the Medina Band when they went last spring.
I saw Lake Plains Players do it, and it was a really, really excellent production.
If it comes back, I'm not going to go out of my way to see it, because I wanted to see it professionally done, because I saw it a while ago when my brother was in it, in a high school version.
I think they played it at the Palace year before that. I think like I saw it there, too.
But the thing is, I mean, once you've seen it, as long as you've seen it, and the person, or the people who sing the main songs do them anywhere from 75 to 80% justice, then you've seen it. You don't need to go see it again.
Right.
It was funny, my wife went with my mother-in-law to Les Mis because there were extra tickets for my in-laws and my father-in-law had backed out because I guess he didn't feel good, so my wife went. So she texted me at like, I don't know, an hour or so, hour and a half into the show. She goes, this is really long. And then 20 minutes later, she goes, oh my God, there's a second act? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it's long.
It's a long, long show. It's very well done. And then when she gets home, she goes, kind of depressing. I don't know why so many people like it so much. I'm like, it's the music. She goes, yeah, I guess it was good. I'm like, all right, fine. You thought it was okay, and now you're moving on. But so far this season, we've had
Mean Girls, Come From Away,
right.
And Jesus Christ Superstar.
And without disparaging it too much, Jesus Christ Superstar, I think if the sound mixing was better while we were there, I might have understood more and understood what was going on.
I'll tell you this. I'm looking for positives because I always try to look for the positives in these things. The woman who played Mary Magdalene, my God, could she sing.
And
she was easily by far the best singer on stage.
And in terms of the staging and the choreography, it was great.
Yep. The musicians were fantastic.
Right. I just couldn't understand a word that was spoken.
I couldn't understand anything Pontius Pilate said at all. I'm like, what is he saying?
Part of me was...
I know the story. And I still was going, what?
Well, the funny thing is you're saying, I know the story. And you're talking to somebody who doesn't know the story. So I was even more confused. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Come From Away. We looked at our watches when the show began just to see, all right, we got 100 minutes. And I don't think we looked at our watches again until the show was over. Like, that was 100 minutes? Well, Jesus Christ.
I don't think I even looked at... Normally, I try to follow along the songs in my playbill.
We didn't do that once.
I don't think I did at all.
It was that engaging.
Yep.
Jesus Christ Superstar, I know I looked at my watch starting about every 10 minutes after the first 20 minutes. You kept turning on your phone to look at the program, like, where the heck are we, looking at your watch. My wife finally took the program from me. Is like, where are we? What's going on? And at one point,
she should be the most familiar with the story.
Should be. And at one point, I leaned over to you, but it was still too loud in the theater because they were singing. And I said, the heck with it. I'll tell you later. But it was the bit when they staged The Last Supper, and I started laughing.
All I could think of was the Mel Brooks theme.
Exactly. That's exactly why I was laughing. The bit in History of the World Part 1 when Mel Brooks is the waiter at The Last Supper and they're like, oh, but one of you will betray me three times.
That part was really cool. I liked the whole Last Supper sequence Superstar. It was brilliantly done.
Yeah. And all I could think of was, one of you will betray me three times, and I started laughing at Mel Brooks going, Judas, what? Try the malt wine. It's delicious. I'm like, oh my God, I actually got that part. Hello, Dolly is next. And then The Band's Visit. And then Anastasia in May.
Right.
And finally, it ends with Escape to Margaritaville.
Which I can't wait to see that one, because I am a pretty big Jimmy Buffett fan.
What a shock.
Yeah. I was down in Key West one time. I was going down to see my brother get married, and my parents were staying down there at a campground and stuff, and we stayed in their camper for the week that we were there. It was the week of, St. Patrick's week.
Yeah.
So I was there for St. Patrick's weekend. So we had a thing called... They bill it as the bar stroll. You pay $20 or $25. You get a t-shirt and a cup. And you walk from bar to bar down Duval Street.
Nice.
And you get free beers the whole way. I think we're drinking Bud Light, but they don't really care at that point. Especially since I said, we need to go over to this place. This is where Hemingway's house is. And there was a bar over there serving microbrews. And I'm like, well, we're going to have a couple microbrews. Because after that stuff that we're drinking, you need to taste a real beer. So
did it kind of backwards. You wanted to have the real beer first and then the Bud Light, but go on.
Right. So, but it's really, they call it the beer crawl.
Right. The pub crawl. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I had this idea. I'm going to go to Margaritaville while I'm there, because that's the original Margaritaville. 2 days before I left, it freaking burned.
Oh, jeez. That's the rest of this season.
Right.
In terms of the date nights we're going to have with our respective spouses. Next season, they just announced on Tuesday.
Yes. And it opens in mid-August.
So I don't know the order, but I'm going to...
I got them in order.
All right, fine. Do it in order. And I think out of the seven you're about to name, only one should not be a musical, right?
I don't know.
Because if it's a musical, I'm going to be a little worried about how it's going to be received. But I'm pretty sure...
You're talking about the first one.
Is that the first one? Is that what it is?
To Kill a Mockingbird is the first one.
That shouldn't be a musical.
Well, I don't know. I'll look it up.
Okay.
So To Kill a Mockingbird is in August.
Okay.
And Wendy just read the book and then whatever the second book is, which is actually...
Ghost of the Watchmen.
Yeah, which is actually not actually a second book. It's kind of a rough draft of the first book.
Yeah.
So it kind of shows an evolution of what Harper Lee was doing.
One of these days, I should probably sit around and... I want them not having to read it in high school.
I didn't read it either, so I'm going to have to sit down and read it.
Yeah.
And then... What will be our anniversary weekend in October is Tootsie.
That I'm actually looking forward to, believe it or not. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Okay. So in case any of you are listening, like, what the heck is Tootsie? Tootsie is a movie from 1982, correct?
Yes.
All right. Stars Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, yep.
Who can't get work as a struggling actor, decides to dress up as a woman, and gets work as an actress, and she's very funny. And hilarity ensues. And it's also ranked one of the top 10 funniest films of all time on AFI.
Okay. And then in January, which we have not had a January show, have we?
No, we have not. And I looked at the date. My wife and I might miss that one.
Really?
Maybe.
It's Pretty Woman.
Yeah, I'm really curious about how that one's going to be turned into a musical. I mean, I know one of the songs, obviously, but...
Brown chicken, brown cow.
No, that's not that song. No. No, it's a Roy Orbison song.
Oh, I love Roy Orbison.
That you sang wrong to me via text.
Yes.
But we're not going to go into that right now. I'm curious to see how that one translates onto the stage as a musical.
And then in February, it's Oklahoma.
I've seen that once. My brother was in it as a member of the chorus, and I'm very unfamiliar with the storyline. But I did also read that it's a somewhat darker revival of the show.
Really have to check it out.
Yeah.
And then in March, it's My Fair Lady.
It's a classic.
Then one that I am really interested in, which you're probably surprised that I am, is Ain't Too Proud, which is The Life and Times of the Temptations.
I'm very interested in that. The musical on that one's going to be outstanding.
Right. I don't care if our wives go. I'm just, you know.
Hey, it's going to be a free concert. Well, not free, but it's going to be a concert.
It's Mother's Day weekend.
Perfect.
Yep. And then closing out the season is the one that I'm going to have to go to twice, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Right. And I'm sure I'm going to have to go to it a couple times as well. We'll have to wait and see. Disney's Frozen.
Yes.
And, you know, you got four daughters. I have two. And even my son's like, yeah, let's go see that. So who knows? He'll be at the end of his ninth grade year. Maybe he'll know somebody
it
he wants to take
the
with him.
You
know,
generational show for their generation, I think.
I think so. I would rather the generational show be something different. There are other shows that are better. Or movies that are better, but
I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's not a terrible movie.
No,
because I kind of get the whole. I think it's a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, which is way darker than
God,
what.
Yes,
what the Frozen Disney movie
if
was.
If you take the,
but I was familiar enough with the fairy tale to get where they were coming from.
Yeah, well, if you look at some of the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales, so many of them are dark. And look at how they were adapted for Disney animation. It's like, oh, they lived happily ever after. It's like, no, they didn't. But okay, we see what you did there. And then the two special engagements are Dear Evan Hansen and Hamilton, correct?
Yes.
And Hamilton can be thrown into your season ticket package if you so desire, if you so buy them.
Right. Which may happen.
Yeah. And you'll just not go out of principle at this point.
I'll just sit at home and play Minecraft with the one who doesn't want to go.
Exactly. No, I'm looking forward to the season. I have warmed up fully to the entire lineup.
Today, there's a special engagement going on at Shays, the Blue Man Group. Mm-hmm. And all I can think of is Wendy and I watched the Orville episode.
Oh, God.
This weekend.
With Rob Lowe as the blue guy?
Yes. That's all I can think of. Every time I see the advertisement for the Blue Man Group, I just have flashbacks to the Orville.
Had Wendy watched all of the Orville when it was first on? Is she enjoying it as much as you and I built it?
I got to tell you, I like the Orville, and we're going off on a tangent here. We're going to close with this one.
Okay.
I like the Orville. And I've been watching Star Trek Picard. I've been rewatching The Next Generation. I've been watching Discovery. And while the Orville is very funny, the production and the writing are so far, so much lower than when you get from those other ones that it's kind of makes it part of the laugh.
Well, yeah, that's part of the point.
So in the midst of rewatching Discovery, I'm kind of finding it disappointing. Maybe it's because I've seen it for the second time or third time in some instances. It's still a great show, and I can't wait till the new season comes out in December. And they're moving it to Hulu, I think.
Discovery?
No.
Orville.
Orville.
Yeah, Orville's going to Hulu.
Yeah, it's only going to be on Hulu.
Right.
So I'll look forward to it. I hope that they kind of mature a little bit and they get away from... Listen, it's 400 years in the future. Are people really going around reliving the 1980s? No. That shtick has gotten really old really fast.
But let's point one thing out with the Orville, please, and that is by the end of the last broadcast season, which would have been season two, and they had that Kalon space fight. You remember that?
Yes.
That was some outstanding television.
It definitely got better. But again, they still stick in that 1980s stuff, and I'm like,
I don't mind the 80s stuff.
Well, it's because you lived it, and you
love
it. I
don't mind the 90s stuff. I don't even mind anything current. It's how it's used.
I just don't see people doing Duran Duran karaoke 400 years from now.
True. But on the flip side, I can appreciate it if it's used well.
Right.
For instance, at the end of the season when they had that tremendous space fight and they go to the enemy of their enemy type of thing. And they're Scott Grimes' character is piloting the
Gordon.
He's piloting the one ship and goes, you need to take this right flank. And he says, this is a walk in the park, Kazansky. I had to pause the show because I was laughing so hard. My son looked at me and goes, what's so funny? I'm like, it's from Top Gun. He goes, what's that? I go, oh, I failed you as a parent. I'm so sorry. Which, you know, of course, that movie comes out this summer also, but that's besides the point. I'm debating whether the first couple episodes, whether I will even get Hulu. I
will tell you this. I think the Orville and Wendy and I watch it, again, one of our date night type of things where we get to sit down and away from the kids and watch a television show. It doesn't happen maybe once or twice a month. Maybe once or twice a month. That's the high end. It's funny, and it tells a mess. There's always a good message.
Yeah.
Hidden in the humor.
One of the best episodes was in season two with the whole Earth-like planet where everything was based on how many likes a person got.
That was in the first season.
That was in the first season?
It was.
Still was an amazing episode.
It was.
It's like, hey, put down the technology and get out there and learn something. So, although, if your technology includes listening to this, listen to it again and then get out there and learn something.
Definitely listen to it again. I posted, because of George's passing yesterday, reposted our podcast for George, which was the one we did at the drive-in for his memorial. We got a bunch of new views on it yesterday.
Nice. So if you're listening to this based off of that, we thank you. And listen again when we post another one.
We have 123 Shenanigans episodes and 38 so far, not including this one. This is episode 39. 38 The Dads Must Be Crazy episodes. And if you're really bored, there are some hockey games out there. And if you take the hockey parts out, there are some pretty funny parts in there.
This is very true.
Because I've been listening to those too and trying to pull George stuff out to make a thing for his wife of all his funnies.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, George broadcasting a hockey game, criticizing a player and calling players names when they're all like 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. That was some gold stuff right there.
Some of the best games were missing, though, because we lost that when we lost the other place.
Right.
But it was all still good. But anyway, thank you for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy. For Howie, I am Craig. Hopefully I have Bobby back next week, but he's not sick or anything. He just had a birthday to celebrate.
Which, you know, he was dadding, he very well should be. And for anybody who criticizes, hey, this show has nothing to do with parenthood, it's being a dad. And being a dad means you likely have or at one point had a wife. And we're talking about going on dates with our wives. So that's exactly what we did today.
And we reviewed some of the shows.
Yes. We reviewed the shows, Shays. Yes. Okay.
So for everybody at Niagara's Water Cooler and Dads Must Be Crazy, thanks for listening. Join us again next week. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.